During Memorial Day at Lowe's, shop household must-haves for less. Save $80 on a Charbroil Performance Series 4-Burner Grill to chef up something special. Plus, get up to 45% off select major appliances to keep things fresh. Our best lineup is here at Lowe's. Lowe's, we help, you save. Valid through 5/27. While supplies last. Selection varies by location. See Lowe's.com for details.
Visit your nearby Lowe's on Silver Drive in Columbus.
Tyler Reddick here from 2311 Racing. Another checkered flag for the books. Time to celebrate with Chumba. Jump in at ChumbaCasino.com. Let's Chumba.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. See TNCs 21 plus. Sponsored by Chumba Casino.
It's time to find furniture that feels like the one. Shop Haverty's Memorial Day sale and save on furniture backed by a regret-free guarantee. Plus, explore fresh styles arriving just in time for summer. Visit Haverty's online or in-store in Columbus at Polaris.
Tyler Reddick here from 2311 Racing. Victory Lane? Yeah, it's even better with Chumba by my side. Race to ChumbaCasino.com. Let's Chumba.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. See TNCs 21 plus. Sponsored by Chumba Casino.
This is Hidden Killers with Tony Bruschi. Here now, Tony Bruschi.
Things just got all effed up. That's what Alex Murdaugh allegedly told Cousin Eddie about what happened at Moselle. Not, I didn't do it. Not, somebody took out my family. Things just got all effed up. Five words that sound less like denial and more like a man describing a plan that went sideways. Eddie, the same man who cashed the stolen Satterfield checks, the same man Alec hired to shoot him on the roadside 3 months after the murders, the same man who failed a polygraph about the killings, told the author of a new book in those words in person twice, and the author, James Lasden, took them seriously enough to build an entire theory around them, a theory that, if true, means what happened at the kennels that night may have been something far stranger and more disturbing than what either side has presented at trial. By the way, James Lasden joining us next week to discuss his new book. So we'll talk to him directly about his thoughts on that. We're going to talk about what's in this new book. The Family Man, by the way. Lasden covered the case for The New Yorker. The article became the magazine's most read story of the year. He went in resistant to the idea that Alec could have killed his own wife and son. He's honest about that, honest to admit that part of him didn't want it to be true, because it would make for a less interesting story. His book, The Family Man, Blood and Betrayal in the House of Murdaugh, is the product of years of original reporting with that article. In-person interviews, two visits to Cut and Eddie's property, access to evidence and sources that never made it into the courtroom. And what he found is not a rehash of the same Murdaugh story that you've heard, which is why I'm really excited for you to hear our conversation with James next week here on the show. It's a book full of findings that have never been publicly reported, and several that directly challenge what the jury was actually told. Yeah. Curious to get your thoughts as we go through this in the comment section on Substack and YouTube. Oh, and by the way, if you want to get access to that interview early, you can. You can actually hear it right now if you become a supporter of ours on our YouTube channel or on Apple Podcasts. The options are there for you right now to get in on that and listen or watch right now. All right, well, let's start with the timeline here. SLED built a detailed accounting of Alec's phone activity on June 7th, the day of the murders. The version prosecutors showed the jury was condensed. So what got cut? This is interesting. Phone calls Alec made that day with two men who had criminal records, Kenneth Singleton and Dimitrik Mangio. Singleton texted Alec asking him to call. Alec texted back, telling him to come to the office for a loan of $1,750. Those names, those communications stripped from the condensed timeline. The jury never heard them. And that's not the only thing that was left out. Alec deleted his entire call log from June 4th through the 911 call. Police were only able to reconstructed using Verizon records and other people's phones. So there's missing pieces here. The next morning after all of this went down, Cousin Eddie texted Alec three words, at fishing hole. An unknown individual sent text that same day referencing what appears to be a prearranged meeting location. I'm setting in parking lot across from where you told me to go. None of this was put in front of the jury. The question of what prosecutors chose to leave out remains a bit unanswered. I'll let that just sit right there. I mean, you're like, what? He did what? He said what? He had these weird clandestine meetings with these people, giving money, hanging out in parking lots. Why isn't he just at home grieving his murdered wife and son? Why is he making secret meetings? Why is he making loans to people? Right after something like that. I don't know. Then there's Almeda, the family property where Alec drove the night of the killings, the property where investigators believe the murder weapons may have been stashed. The sled didn't search for 3 months. The book calls it an incomprehensible omission. 3 months. The place where the prime suspect drove on the night his wife and son were killed, and nobody looked for weapons there until the fall. Incompetence, or is there a reason? And the blue jacket, the prosecution used it as key evidence that Alex transported the murder weapons to Almeda. But Sled told Alex's brother, John Marvin, that the jacket was found on the Kubota utility vehicle outside, meaning it was consistent with being their father's old hunting coat left on a piece of equipment. John Marvin offered to come identify it. Sled declined. Later, agents showed him a photo of the same garment and told him it was found in the closet inside the house, a completely different location. Nobody ever explained that discrepancy. The jacket that supposedly proves Alec moved the guns was placed by the investigating agency in two different spots, depending on who they were talking to. I'm not coming to you saying I have answers for any of this. I'm coming to you with a mountain of information that goes, there's more going on here. There's physical evidence at the crime scene that nobody can account for. The Colleton County Fire Chief noted a set of unidentified tire tracks near the bodies the night of the murders. They were never investigated. Mark Tinsley, the Beach family attorney who was deposing Alec in the civil suit, told Lodson something after the trial that never also came into court. Maggie's Mercedes was found at the main house, but the driver's seat was pushed all the way back. We've talked about this a little bit in the past. It's one of those odd details where it's like, okay, well, that means somebody moved Maggie's car from the spot where she would have parked it if she parked it down there at the kennels and drove it back to the house. And it wasn't Maggie. And it wasn't Maggie driving with the seats pushed all the way back. That's not how she would have driven. So Alec might have driven. Or somebody. Not what you'd expect if Maggie was the last person to drive. Tinsley said there's a belief the car was actually at the kennels that night and got moved back to the house before the police arrived. Tire tracks that don't belong to anyone. A car seat that doesn't match the driver. Evidence that sits in the record with no real explanation attached at all. The book also goes further than any previous reporting into who Alec actually was when nobody was watching. A woman named Lindsay Edwards gave an on-camera interview to Fitz News describing violent encounters with Alec when she was working as an escort in the Charleston area. She described being choked with both hands pinned to a bed by her throat, seeing spots and stars, believing she was about to die. She said Alec's eyes went almost solid black. His entire personality shifted like a switch flipping. A second encounter, chunks of hair claimingly ripped from her head, leaving bald spots. A third, choking, a wash rag shoved in her mouth, slapped across the face for what she estimated was 20 to 30 minutes. Edwards was questioned by Sled after that interview. Prosecutors never called her at trial. The book notes that she claimed to have also serviced police officers, including Sled agents. You can draw your own conclusions about why the state decided not to put her on the stand. Gee, I wonder. There's a lot of stuff here. There's a lot of stuff here behind a curtain that somebody doesn't want pulled. More than Alec. After the staged roadside shooting, the one where Alec had Eddie shoot him in the head so his surviving son could collect life insurance, supposedly, Alec sat with a SLED sketch artist for 2 hours and helped create a detailed composite portrait of his supposed attacker. The portrait before bore really a striking resemblance to Anthony Cook, one of the boat crash survivors. His girlfriend, Mallory Beach, was killed. Alec was in intensive care with a bullet graze to his skull and was actively trying to point investigators at specific people with the Moselle murders. It's not a man in crisis. That's a man running plays from a hospital bed that got all effed up. Then there's a detail that nobody has been able to explain. UMSC Police Chief Greg Alexander was at the Moselle crime scene the night of the murders. A month later, Alec wrote him a personal check for $5,000 and backdated it to March. Chief said it was a loan for his parents. Didn't explain the backdating. He did, however, post a statement on his re-election Facebook page that read, "I'm not a cat. I don't cover up no doo-doo." No real credible explanation for that payment has ever been offered, except for the no doo-doo. I'm not saying it's something criminal. I'm saying I don't know what it is. I'm saying it's weird. You have someone at the crime scene that night who's not really an officer who should be there because it's not his jurisdiction, getting paid $5,000 from Alec Murdaugh just a few weeks later. It seems a little weird. I don't know. Was Alec essentially an ATM for agents? You need some money? Go to Alec for a loan. Is he a loan shark? I mean, what's going on here? It's a lot of questions it unearths, and it opens up so many areas to this case where we just want it settled. We just want to believe Alec did it and move on because the minutiae of all of this, the chaos, the craziness, that he's doing this for that reason and that for this reason and everything else that's happening here. It's just too much. It's too much. We got our explanation, or so we think. We got our verdict anyway. And with that verdict, we're like, okay, we're done. But are we really? I don't think we are. I do not think we know what happened at those kennels. I do not think we know truly what happened to Maggie and Paul. Do I think Alec Murdaugh has a lot to do with it? Yes. Is he in prison for the right reasons? Yes. But do we have the full picture? That I do not think we do. And Alec ain't talking. Why? The book also surfaces an allegation that most people covering this case have never encountered. A crime reporting outlet called The Gangster Report described a man named Jerry Rivers, identified in court documents as a downstream beneficiary of Alec's stolen money, receiving approximately $90,000 in 2021 alone, as the muscle for an illegal gambling operation that Alec was allegedly running at Moselle. Rivers pled guilty to obstruction for hiding a phone that Sled had sought in connection with Alec. This hasn't been verified beyond the Gangster Report's claim, but it paints a picture of a world around Alec that goes far beyond what was presented to jurors as a life of a small-town personal injury lawyer with a pill problem. Which brings us back to the Eddie phrase. Things just got all effed up. Lassen took those words and built a theory that nobody else has really explored all that well. And we're going to go into it with him next week. His hypothesis, the murders were a staged attack that was supposed to fail. A fake attempted murder designed to create sympathy, distract from Jeannie Schechinger's investigation into missing fees to the law firm and buy Alec some time, using the real threats against Paul from the boat crash as a ready-made cover story. In other words, exactly the same play Alec tried 3 months later when he had Eddie shoot him on the old Shackleite Road. A near miss, credible scare, enough to turn the family into objects of concern and make everyone back off. If Alec arranged for people to show up at the kennels and fire shots that missed, a convincing enough performance to fool Maggie and Paul and then the police, it only had to look real. But if the people he hired recognized Paul, if Paul went for a gun, if something in the darkness went wrong in a way Alec didn't anticipate, and people then actually got killed, which they did, then things got all effed up. And under South Carolina law, Alec would be equally guilty of murder, whether he pulled the trigger himself or orchestrated a scheme that resulted in the killings. There's no lesser charge waiting for him if he admits it. No incentive to ever tell the truth. Better to deny everything than confess to a plan that proves premeditation and carries the same sentence regardless, and get more people pissed off at him. Because if you got folks who are willing to engage in that sort of activity, you might have some folks that have some friends behind bars with Alec that might also be willing to engage in some activity against Alec if he were to expose them. Lassen believed in his theory enough to ask Jim Griffin, Alec's own defense attorney, to arrange a meeting at McCormick Prison so he could lay it out to Alec face to face and watch his reaction. Griffin declined. The case was still on appeal, and Alec had been banned from talking to the press. But here's where the book goes somewhere that no other work on this case has gone, and it's the finding that will stay with you after you put it down. Lassen argues that Alec didn't snap. He drifted. The book traces what it calls a dual consciousness. Alec simultaneously living inside two realities for months before the murders. One reality was the loving husband and the father, genuinely enjoying supper with his family, genuinely calling Maggie's dad for a chat that evening, genuinely laughing with Paul on the property ride an hour before the killings. That warmth was real. The other reality was a shadow plan, taking shape in the back of his mind, getting clearer every time Ginny Steckinger asked another question about the missing money, every time Mark Tinsley pushed harder on the boat crash lawsuit, every time the walls closed in a little bit more. Not a fixed decision, more like a gravitational pull that Alec let himself drift towards because he'd convinced himself it was still hypothetical. He never hurt Maggie. He would never hurt Paw. And so it made it safe to keep thinking about. And then the book makes the claim that stopped. I think a lot of us cold who've read it. Lassen argues that Alec knew his grief would be real, that he factored the authenticity of his own devastation into the plan, that he understood on some level that his anguish after losing Maggie and Paul would be so genuine, so obviously devastating, that it would function as proof of his own innocence. The pain would be real because the love was real, and Alec counted on that. A man who can knowingly weaponize his own future grief as an alibi. That is the psychological territory this book enters that nobody else has really touched yet. And it's supported by what we saw. The deputies reaching forward to squeeze his shoulder in the patrol car, the sobbing that looked absolutely real, the grief that, according to everyone who witnessed it, didn't seem performed. It wasn't performed. That's the point. It was genuine. And it was calculated at the same time. Alec spent over $250,000 in pills in the 3 months after the murders. According to Jim Griffin, the book argues those drugs weren't just addiction. They were a mechanism, a way of disabling his own conscience before, during, and after. Alec told the victims of his financial crimes, "I took more and more pills because I was hiding or attempting to hide from the reality of the things that I was doing to all of you." He said that under oath. He told you exactly how it worked. Now, how on earth you get $250,000 worth of pills in you and live? Well, let's just call it what it is, a physical impossibility. So what the hell's up with that? Lassen ultimately came to accept that Alec was almost certainly the only person at the kennels that night, not because every question has been answered. They really haven't. Deleted phone logs, backdated checks, names stripped from timelines, unidentified tracks, the failed polygraph, a police chief who can't explain a payment, an allegation of gambling operations at the property where two people were killed. All of it still sitting on the record, unresolved, but SLED, for all the mistakes they made, And they made the serious ones, were never more interested in securing a particular outcome than in finding the truth. And the truth, as lead investigator David Owen put it directly to Alec, came down to one sentence. I have to put my beliefs aside and go with the facts. The word almost is doing real work in that conclusion. Maybe that's the most honest it can be. The overarching message of the book is one that most people don't want to hear. Alec Murdaugh wasn't wearing a mask. The charm was real. The warmth was real. The love that people saw for his kids, for his friends, for the people in his orbit were real. And the theft, the manipulation, the violence, and the murders were also real. All of it running at the same time, at the same person, simultaneously. Family man and a monster were never two different people. They were always the same one. What do you think? There's a lot in this book. I'm still kind of digesting it. Probably put another piece out here in another week or two once I've had some time to really, I guess, process it. But your thoughts in the comments section. And be sure to press subscribe become a member right now on YouTube or on Apple Podcasts if you want to hear the interview we did with James Lasden that's dropping next week in its entirety. We got it there for you right now. It's fascinating. We dive into all of these things and all of the things that he dove into. Megan, your thoughts in the comments section on Substack and YouTube. Love to continue our conversation there. Until next time, I'm Tony Bruschi. We'll talk again real soon.
Want more on this case and others? Then press subscribe now and don't miss a moment of true crime coverage from Tony Bruschi and the Hidden Killers podcast.
It's time to find furniture that feels like the one. Shop Haverty's Memorial Day sale and save on furniture backed by a regret-free guarantee. Plus, explore fresh styles arriving just in time for summer. Visit Haverty's online or in-store in Columbus at Polaris.
Hello, it is Ryan, and we could all use an extra bright spot in our day, couldn't we? Just to make up for things like sitting in traffic, doing the dishes, counting your steps, you know, all the mundane stuff. That is why I'm such a big fan of Chumba Casino. Chumba Casino has all your favorite social casino-style games that you can play for free anytime, anywhere with daily bonuses. So sign up now at chumbacasino.com. That's chumbacasino.com.
Plus, terms and conditions apply.
It's time to find furniture that feels like the one. Shop Haverty's Memorial Day sale and save on furniture backed by a regret-free guarantee. Plus, explore fresh styles arriving just in time for summer. Visit Haverty's online or in-store in Columbus at Polaris.
Tyler Reddick here from 2311 Racing. Another checkered flag for the books. Time to celebrate with Chumba. Jump in at ChumbaCasino.com. Let's Chumba.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. CTNCs 21 plus. Sponsored by Chumba Casino.
It's time to find furniture that feels like the one. Shop Haverty's Memorial Day sale and save on furniture backed by a regret-free guarantee. Plus, explore fresh styles arriving just in time for summer. Visit Haverty's online or in-store in Columbus at Polaris.
Tyler Reddick here from 2311 Racing. The rush of racing? Nothing beats it. But Chumba Casino comes close. Chumba's got fast spins, fun games, daily bonuses, and all the action you can handle. Now that's a ride. Ready to hit the throttle? Get in the driver's seat and head to ChumbaCasino.com. Let's Chumba.
Sponsored by Chumba Casino. No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. 21 plus. Terms and conditions apply.
It's time to find furniture that feels like the one. Shop Haverty's Memorial Day sale and save on furniture backed by a regret-free guarantee. Plus, explore fresh styles arriving just in time for summer. Visit Haverty's online or in-store in Columbus at Polaris.
Hey, it's Cole Swindell, and when I spend 200 days a year rolling down the highway, the bus can start to feel smaller than a guitar case. Everyone wonders how I stay chill while the hours crawl by. Truth is, one good luck spent on Chumba, and suddenly the trip feels a whole lot shorter. Finding your space, even when there isn't much to spare. Need some chill? Let's Chumba.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. 21 plus TNC supply. Sponsored by Chumba Casino.
It's time to find furniture that feels like the one. Shop Haverty's Memorial Day Sale and save on furniture backed by a regret-free guarantee. Plus, explore fresh styles arriving just in time for summer. Visit Haverty's online or in-store in Columbus at Polaris.
Tyler Reddick here from 2311 Racing. Game night's fun until someone spends 5 minutes lining up one shot. Chalk, breathe, re-chalk. Still aiming. While they figure it out, I fire up Chumba Casino. I can spin anywhere, anytime, and there's always a new social casino game every week. Spins happen way faster than that shot. Play now at ChumbaCasino.com. Let's Chumba.
Sponsored by Chumba Casino. No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. 21 plus. Terms and conditions apply.
It's time to find furniture that feels like the one. Shop Haverty's Memorial Day Sale and save on furniture backed by a regret-free guarantee. Plus, explore fresh styles arriving just in time for summer. Visit Haverty's online or in-store in Columbus at Polaris.
How to have fun anytime, anywhere. Step one, go to ChumbaCasino.com.
ChumbaCasino.com. Got it.
Step two, collect your welcome bonus.
Come to Papa, welcome bonus.
Step three, play hundreds of casino-style games for free.
That's a lot of games, all for free.
Step four, unleash your excitement.
Woohoo!
Chumba Casino has been delivering thrills for over a decade. So claim your free welcome bonus now and live the Chumba life. Visit ChumbaCasino.com.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. 21 plus. Terms and conditions apply.
Lots of places can expose you to identity theft. That's why LifeLock monitors hundreds of millions of data points a second for threats to your identity, which is way more than anyone can do on their own. If we find anything suspicious, like new loans or changes to your financial accounts, we alert you right away, all through text, phone, email, or the LifeLock app. Save up to 30% your first year. Visit LifeLock.com/iHeart. Terms apply.
Tyler Reddick here from 2311 Racing. The rush of racing? Nothing beats it. But Chumba Casino comes close. Chumba's got fast spins, fun games, daily bonuses, and all the action you can handle. Now that's a ride. Ready to hit the throttle? Get in the driver's seat and head to ChumbaCasino.com. Let's Chumba.
Sponsored by Chumba Casino. No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. 21 plus. Terms and conditions apply.